Okay. So, now that we are being recorded, I will call the meeting to order at 5:37 Pacific Time. I will take roll. I am Dave Pawson. I'm present. Kim Laird.
Here.
Tom Wall, unless he really surprises us, is absent. Okay. Aaron Stevens.
Here.
Lloyd Timberlake.
Here.
Scott Krause. Okay. Just want to make sure he wasn't hiding. Nathan Wakefield.
Present.
Sandy Brown is probably in Tibet, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Awesome.
Okay. Mike Sullivan.
He had said he would be late tonight.
Yeah. Okay. And Martin Frost. Okay. So that's that. We need to approve the agenda. As I said in my electronic communications, I'm sorry, this snuck up on me. It sounds like it snuck up on a lot of us, but I did double check, and this is the date we agreed on, so sorry it came out so late.
I'll move.
Thank you. That was Kim, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second.
And that was Lloyd, correct?
Lloyd.
Yep. Thank you. Okay. Is there any discussion of the agenda?
There is one correction, Dave. The motion to approve the FEST budget, that should read 2013 BGSU.
Right.
It certainly should. I'm a mess, yeah. Okay, thank you.
That's okay. Join the club.
Well,
big club this year.
Right in front of my eyes, that's what's happening.
Well, what did you say?
I said, wow, somebody's changing it right in front of my eyes, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
I thought we were like, what? Why is this a Sayboard Plus? Why does it say that? What happened? That's so cool.
Okay. Any other comments or discussion on the agenda? Okay. Then we must vote. Does anyone object to the agenda? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay. The agenda is unanimously approved. Okay. The approval of minutes. I keep typing a lot here because this got kind of out of control, and I'm, as much as anything, just trying to make sure we're all on the same page. We had figured out last time that the May and June minutes had been previously approved, and they are now posted on the website, and further, David Landau taught me how to post them on the website. So from now on, once we have approved minutes, I can get them up there. Kim had her handwritten notes from the July 18th meeting, which is a good thing because Kevin informed me today he doesn't think he's ever going to be able to get us the audio meeting, the audio notes from that meeting. So did the people who are present get a chance to look over those meeting minutes?
I did.
Okay, great. Do we have a motion to approve those minutes?
I'll make that motion. This is Kim.
Great. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Okay. Is there any discussion we want to have about those minutes? Okay. We'll move on to vote. Does anyone object to the approval of the July 18th pre-AGM minutes? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay, those pass unanimously. Our meeting minutes from the AGM and the post-AGM, we still don't have them available to try to approve, but by now, I believe, just to make sure, Kim, you said you actually did send both of those to Sandy, is that correct?
I did, and I kept a copy of them just in case. And before she left, Sandy and I had emailed back and forth, and I told her that those post-AGM minutes,
mm-hmm.
That I would go ahead and do them for her on behalf of her.
Okay.
Since she's away in Tibet. The AGM minutes usually aren't as vital, but I'll try and get those done as well. Because I have most of the reports and that in the typed version I gave to everyone.
Right.
So it's just adding a few things here and there.
Right. I imagine the AGM ones are more informational than procedural, since we don't actually approve motions or anything for the most part.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. It'll be good to get caught up.
Right.
The August planning meeting, again, wasn't as formal a meeting, but it would be nice to get those available, and Sandy has access to them, so I imagine when she gets back from Tibet, she will.
Mm-hmm.
The August minutes, Kim managed to track down. Thank you for that. Kim also got me a copy of them that we can post publicly. I just didn't get to juggle documents in time before the meeting. If people got to look at the August minutes, we can move on to that. Do we have a motion to approve those minutes?
I make the motion.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron. Discussion. There was one thing I noticed, which I guess just there's no reason for it to be inaccurate. It says that the show director is going to be Keith Bindlestiff. We should probably note that that's actually Keith Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
I also just wanted to clarify the way it's written. It said, let me pull them up so I can actually make sure I get this exactly right when I ask. The notes as they were taken said that for the festival budget, Cascade of Stars travel budget of $7,500, housing and travel will be $10,000. I was pretty sure I understood at the time that your entire, I guess it's not the entire Cascade budget, but that also included any payment or honorarium or whatever to the performers, correct, the $10,000?
Yes, I believe so, yeah. But that doesn't sound right to me, because I thought the entire budget for housing and the performers was like $10,000. So let me double check. I'm opening that now.
You mean you thought the travel was in addition to that?
When I had talked to Keith about doing this, I gave him a total budget, travel and housing, of $10,000.
So that's what the notes say. They say that housing
okay.
and travel is $10,000, and I thought I had understood that housing, travel, and payment was
$10,000.
And it could just be I understood it wrong. I just wanted to clarify.
Right. Well, I just have my budget up here now.
Okay.
So housing for the VIPs was $2,500. Cascade of Stars and Taste of Vaudeville travel, because some of those performers will be doing both shows, $7,500. So, and I think.
Okay, so that would say the notes as written are accurate, because that would be $10,000
okay.
before any honorariums or payments or anything.
Correct. Right.
Okay. So. My understanding.
I put the honorarium somewhere else.
Okay. Were there any other points of discussion? Okay. Does anyone object to the minutes with the one correction of Keith Bindlestiff to Keith Nelson? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay, those are also approved, and I will get them up on the site as soon as I can. That brings us to our reports. Again, hopefully people got a chance to look at these, but I understand if people will need a little time to catch up because stuff came together so quickly. The first report was Kim's festival planning report. Did people get to look at that, or do they need a little bit of time?
Read it.
Read it.
Okay.
Read it.
Good, good. It's beautiful. I also got to read it. There's a lot of good stuff in there, Kim, so thank you. I thought the fact that you've got restaurants donating food for the Green Room is pretty much awesome. That seems like a great... Anytime we can barter in a currency other than cash, that's awesome. So.
And that's what I'm going for on this. Wendy from the Convention Center, Wendy Strom, is also with the Black Swamp Arts Festival last weekend. She didn't get this to me yet, but she is getting me a list of all the major corporations and companies within a 50-mile radius so that I can send out sponsorship letters, and hopefully we can get some more aspects of the fest sponsored. And who knows, maybe even extra, you know, prize money for the competitors.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Prize money, yeah.
Yeah. Years ago, they used to get sponsorship for the championships. And they would actually, Bob Nickerson told me this. And the one year he remembers, it was like this odd shoe company that sponsored the entire championships, award money and all.
Nice.
And, so that's what I'm going to try to do.
That's cool.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions? Or?
Yeah, so you'd also mentioned Stephen Ergatz maybe doing a special workshop. Could you clarify how that fits in versus the special guest versus the Jay Gilligan thing we had discussed in email?
Well, several times throughout the history of the IJA, there have been two, sometimes three special workshops offered.
Yeah.
So, you know, Stephen just out of the blue emailed me the other night and said, don't know if you're the person I'm supposed to talk to, but I hear you're the fest director and I'd really like to do this workshop. It was well received in Europe and, you know, his schedule has opened up so that he can now give back a little bit more. We have actually three possible workshop rooms that are over in the theater area. They are wonderful spaces because they're basically band and choral rooms. The ceiling heights are huge. Stevens would be strictly, you know, act development, creating your act. So it would be a lot of here's how to do it. He's sending me an entire syllabus of what he would do within that class. Jay is also sending me a description of what he would like to do. I've asked him to. And it sounds like his is more one person, you know, pure artistic juggling stuff, which would be wonderful. The guest that I have invited is actually Get the Shoe. They were a huge success at the first Winston-Salem. And by the time people, as I told Dave through an email, by the time people got to know who they were and what they were about, it was already the end of the fest. Florian is interested. He and his partner said they would love to come back. They're just waiting to hear about possible contract, a possible contract that they might have during that time. Their special workshop would be partner tricks. A lot of things that they do with two or more person passing. So I think that kind of gives us a nice mix of different things that could be done.
Would all those be paid special workshops, all three of those, are you thinking, or would some be like just regular workshops?
Well,
kind of the EAEO guys in.
Well, I'm sure they'll also do regular workshops as well. I was thinking for these, since all of them are planning like a three-day workshop, that they would be the paid workshops.
And have three of them, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know that breaks things up a lot, but, I mean, if we have people willing to do them, and we don't have to charge the same for all of them either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, my take is the same as it was with Jay, which is that it's awesome for festival participants as long as it doesn't compromise your ability to make the special guest happy.
Right.
Like if we can't find a way to pay them enough to make them want to come, then it gets tricky. But as long as everybody's fine with it, I think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it offers more diversity, and essentially that attracts more jugglers, ideally. And I do think all three of those are pretty different, and it's going to draw pretty different clientele, so or different participants.
That's the main thing. They're very different. When Get the Shoe was there, they did such a spectacular show that they attracted so many people to the workshop that it wasn't a workshop. It was kind of another show, and so it'd be good for them to be able to spread their stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think Stephen regards with the performance one. I think I love the idea of us cultivating more performance workshops and stuff, and I mean just with his experience performing in Cirque du Soleil and how theatrical all of his stuff is, I think he would be an awesome one to have.
Right,
and Jay draws people. A whole bunch of people in Mexico I know are going to be like, Jay is going to be there. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why when I spoke with each one of these performers so far, I made sure to ask them, what would you like to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I explained to Stephen in my reply to him that we do, you know, that Jay Gilligan has said he might like to do a special workshop, plus we would have our special guest, which we have invited already. And he seemed fine with that because he even said there are three different types of special workshops. They're not, you know, his isn't going to appeal to the hobby juggler, but Jay's might. Somebody may want to break into Jay's style and want to take a workshop with him. So,
would you think they'd be at different times or same time?
I would love to set them up so they're at different times.
Yeah, because I mean, I could see Jay, lots of people having appeal to both Jay's and Stevens, or you know, whatever.
Right.
Depending on their past.
Yeah, I'm trying to work it so that the times are totally different. I have a phone meeting with Stephen tomorrow, and I need to set up a phone meeting with Jay. And I, like I said, I'm waiting to hear back from Florian.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I mean, the other nice thing about this is my concern I voiced last month is you're working with a very aggressive budget for the shows, and if it manages, you can get these three people alone that are willing to come because they're doing a special workshop.
Yep.
That gets you a really nice leg up.
Yep. The other bonus to all of this is we are not being charged for these special workshop rooms.
Right.
They're coming free of charge with the use of the theater, so... And they are regular classroom space that, if you were having a regular sit-down lecture, would fit about 200 people in them. Ceiling height on each room is about 30 feet. So they're awesome spaces.
Yeah. Cool.
Sounds good. Did anyone have other questions for Kim or comments on that report?
I like your part, too, about the publicity. That's great with the working with the designers and stuff, and I'm glad you're including Tom in that process just because I know he's our marketing coordinator, and that just makes sense.
And I emailed him the first entry today because it's sort of being done as a contest-like. So not a true contest, but it is
right.
Contest-like.
People are
so.
Kind of submitting different ideas, and then you choose what you like.
Yeah.
I guess. Nice.
Cool.
That's cool.
Any other
questions?
Okay, you're welcome. Yeah, and I'm really working hard on the transportation from the airport into Bowling Green and back. I should have a very detailed report on that by next month, and it looks like that's going to work out as well, a lot cheaper than I thought it would.
Good.
Cool.
Awesome.
Okay. Unless Mike snuck on while we were talking and I didn't notice, we can skip and jump back to future festival planning when he arrives. That sounds like no. Okay. I had submitted my report on the vendor discount program. I actually spoke to Brad Wyman today, and he said either tonight or tomorrow night he hopes to have me his ad. So I would personally be where I was I thought we were ready enough to launch this and let the other people catch up when they get their act together. were there any questions or comments people had for me on the vendor discount program?
No, just sorry about Malabar's language barriers are fun.
Oh, I'm sure. And they came, some of these other vendors that haven't given us stuff have been talking about this with me for probably 6 months longer.
A lot longer. They're still a little confused as to how to make it work. Just because.
Right. And
because of the language barrier.
Right. But. Trying to talk to somebody about how to get to the bank in a different language is difficult. Trying to talk to them about how to deploy a e-commerce system
e-commerce,
on website is
online coupon redeemable
right.
discount is a little tricky.
those are all words
I didn't learn in my basic Spanish class.
And then
he's asking what we have as far as that's a little confusing. So I go strong at it for a couple of days and then I have to take a break.
Yep. Well, thank you for chasing that. That's
of course.
Awesome.
And they're still excited about it for sure.
Good.
Dave, I do have a question, and this is Fest-related with all of this, because I know when Tom did the vendor discount program, part of the perks for the vendors that participated was a free space at the Fest. Then we kind of changed gears, and everybody got a free space at the Fest. But those tables and chairs are costing us this year.
Right.
So... is that one of the perks that you are offering the vendors that are part of the discount program?
I think the two things are disjoint. So one, no. All the negotiations I've had with them have been we get discounts and you get ad space on eJuggle.
Okay.
So that's the extent of those discussions. That being said, I think when we go into detail on the Fest budget, I'm wary of trying to pass on. It's funny because we had the whole discussion about passing on charges to people for their rooms. I am wary of passing on table charges to the vendors, but I don't know if we want to talk about that now or whether we want to talk about that when we talk about the festival budget. I would guess the latter.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, but no, it's completely distinct from the negotiations I've had with any of them about the discount program.
Okay.
Okay. So if nobody has anything else they want to talk about with the vendor discount program, we'll move on. Job descriptions, I think, mostly I could have sworn last meeting that somebody had said that they could kind of compile them all. And I had a vague memory it was Scott, but he's not here to confirm or deny that. Does anyone else remember what I'm talking about, or am I making this up? Maybe it was wishful thinking.
I remember that as well. This is him. But.
Do you think it was Scott?
I think.
Okay. I'll reach out to him.
Jumped my head before you said it.
Okay. That's a good time.
But
okay, so,
I can't guarantee.
All right. So he's not here tonight, but I'll reach out to him and just see if he's had time to start putting it all together. Because as with last time, just that's a lot of documents in a lot of places, and I didn't find the time to do all the accounting on it, so I don't have a whole lot to say on it. Unless anyone has anything they want to say on that matter, I would just move on. Personally.
And that was on
the job descriptions.
Job descriptions. Okay. One I just wanted to say, and I know what's his face, Tom's kind of waiting on me to get my last one in on the international liaison position we're kind of creating. I'm having a hard time really creating it because it's still in the creation process of developing it as a role. So that's just kind of why I haven't gone there yet, and so I'm going to just talk to Tom and see if I can kind of extend that to be maybe a couple months down the road, just to really kind of fine-tune what that role will entail.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the one I might spell out, and we had a brief discussion about it on the boards, was the idea of how we should have a volunteer coordinator position. Honestly, I would just say that I feel like a couple months out of the Fest, we're already clearly starting to get bogged down on, well, people are busy and they have a lot to do, and there's things we might be able to do if we had more people to do it. So I'm guessing this is one of those where if we do some work up front, it'll pay going forward, and I would just kind of urge us all to think about people we know who might be a good fit for the position and see if we can recruit someone who will get excited about it and really help us spread the work around a little bit more.
Volunteer here.
I have one name in mind who I'm almost certain will say no, but I am going to reach out to that person and see, because if they surprise me, I think it would be great. We'll see. Anything else on job descriptions? Okay. Erin submitted her report on education. Thank you very much.
Why, certainly.
Again, there was that was awesome. There's some really cool stuff in there. It's really nice to see how Props to You is taking off, and the fact
that... Oh, my gosh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It was, like, just unexpected how many donations would suddenly start coming in once we, like, really did... Because the goal last year was to get more photos and videos, and it just kept not happening. And so when the first batch came in, I was like, oh, my God, this is beautiful. It's amazing how when you show the benefits of a program, then people want to support that program more. So.
Well, and not only that, that once you had them, you had a very nice, you know, wide range of places to spread them out that will all make
it. Oh, for the props, too. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's great. And congrats on finding volunteers for
Ellen. Yeah, so Ellen and Becca. So we'll hopefully be meeting soon.
Cool. Anybody have anything else they wanted to ask or comment on Erin's education report?
Just good job.
I will save you the call. I don't need props because by now I have so many props I can barely
carry
them.
Okay, thanks. So totally going to contact you about that.
Yeah, I've gotten Nueva to buy me a bunch, and then I'm just
perfect.
A prop junkie, so I've got all kinds of stuff of my own I've added, and yeah, I'm
perfect.
All set. Okay. Okay, it doesn't sound like there's anything else, so thank you for that. Erin also submitted her IRC report. Thank you.
And I have a couple new things to add to that, too.
Sure. Shoot.
I should do that first. Got an email from Anthony Shave today because my next question after these are all done, and it's kind of the thing I've been thinking about since we figured out the funding for the actual organizing part, is then how do we get these competitors here? And Anthony Shave's been our primary frequent flyer miles donator so far, but he said he had, like, lost over 500,000 miles or something like that. Because it was inactive, didn't use them, which is so sad. So he said he's out, but that the business he works in, he has several coworkers who have over 1 million miles plus, who, knowing them, would probably be more than excited to help support this, and that when the time came to just talk to him and he'll see who he can get to donate. So that's huge.
Yeah, that's great. Other than the fact that some poor person earned 1 million free.
Oh, my God. I know, right? Businessman. That's Anthony Shave, I'm learning. Wow. Yeah. And then other thing is, like I said, I was two new people just came in for Chile, two new competitors. So we're now up to 5 for Chile, which is great. We're still a week and a half in advance, and usually most of them come in within the last 2 days before the deadline. So that's a great place to be at this time.
Question on the winners of the IRCs.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I'm clear on it.
Yeah.
Because I know the Hoopist was supposed to perform this year, correct?
Right. Yeah.
So we need to find room for those in the shows as well, right?
Well, the goal is... to have them compete.
Okay.
She had the option of entering to compete, and then if they don't make it through the prelims, then to have them be part of a show.
Okay.
To still give them kind of an award of, you know, being able to perform and everything, but they still have to enter the prelims. So should they not make it through, having that as an option would be great.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just let Keith know. That shouldn't be a problem.
Cool.
Erin, what's the funding situation? Is it all straightened out?
We're all straightened out, I think. I mean, me and Kim, you know, we've been the primary money deciders with YEP, and so the $500 from YEP will cover everything. Anthony also ended up covering all the airplane tax fees for my flight down there and everything. So that's less money we have to spend. The medals are costing a lot less than I originally budgeted for. I would guess it's going to be around $300 that we actually end up spending. And we still haven't heard back from Iwi, but we're just, at this point, we have to move forward with it. And he totally supported it last year, moving the funds to you know, something. And so, yeah, Kim and I both agree that it should be okay. And hopefully, and it, should it not be $300, I'm sure we could come up with elsewhere if he suddenly said, no, you can't do it, to refund YEP or whatever. So, yes.
That's terrific. Given that there isn't any obvious place in the agenda to address this, I'd say, so Kim, you said you have alternate ways to reach out to Iwi, right, either by phone or snail mail or...
Yes, and I may have to do that.
I think we're to that point because by now there's a couple projects that have gotten kind of log-jammed up against Iwi. I certainly don't want to make our benefactor angry by going off of that, but we also don't want to have everything kind of grind to a halt.
Right, and I actually had two different email addresses that he had sent me email from. This last communication I actually sent to both email addresses. One did bounce back to me. So we'll see what happens there. If I don't hear back from him by this weekend, I will call.
Cool.
Okay.
Thank you. I heard Mike show up. Welcome, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Thank you.
How are you?
Fine. Thanks, everybody. Hello.
Hi.
We had hopped over future festival planning earlier so that you could share with us once you got here. So what can you tell us?
Okay. Well, thank you. I was at Purdue just 2 weeks ago, and Purdue is absolutely amazing. It's a world-class public university on par with the very finest American universities anywhere, and they're offering us pretty amazing facilities at good prices, very good prices. They do things differently than we've seen from VGSU in a couple ways, nothing that's a showstopper, but again, their facilities are amazing. The juggling facility that they showed me is still under construction and won't open until October, so we were standing in a construction zone when I toured it. But it's a new student recreation center that includes 9 full-size basketball courts, 2 swimming pools, 6 exercise rooms, numerous other weight rooms, and so on. We would use one of the gymnasiums and probably 2 or 3 of the dance studios. All of that in a building that's just now under construction with a $98 million upgrade and refit. So it's going to be world-class, state-of-the-art. That is across the street from 3 different dormitory buildings, residence halls that they would offer us, 3 different styles of dormitory. One would be the traditional type of dormitory that we remember from the mid-90s, where it is shared bathroom facility in the middle of the hallway, and it would be unisex, in other words, or not unisex, but not co-ed. And those would be the lowest priced, at about $32 per night per person with double rooms. Next up would be a rather modern residence hall called Hillenbrand, which is co-ed and has a suite arrangement with 2 bedrooms connected by a common living area and shared bathroom facility for about $38 per night per person. And then brand new and just being opened right now this fall is a beautiful new residence hall called First Avenue Towers, and that would be in the $50 to $60 range, and they're going to work on final pricing and get that to me in the next week or so. And that's basically a residence inn by Marriott or a Courtyard by Marriott type of single hotel room with a great lounge area on each floor with a kitchen, a free laundry, microwave, flat screen TV, all of that kind of stuff. Beautiful new building. And then the dining hall would be across the street, Amelia Earhart Hall. Huge facility with 9 different food stations, everything you would ever want to eat. Really good food, huge variety, all of it fresh, a lot of it grown and harvested from within 100 miles of campus, so it's really good quality food. Then across campus, about 5 blocks, would be our theater and nighttime venue. Our theater would be the Loeb Playhouse, which seats 700, a beautiful playhouse with an immense stage and state-of-the-art equipment. We would be able to rent that playhouse for $150 per night. And adjacent to that, in the same building, we could use a renegade space in the Union Commons Student Union building. One of the ballrooms there has a permanent raised stage, permanent lighting, and so on. And they have done a lot of activities and events in there where they turn it into a nightclub-type environment. They showed me photos of that, and I'll have photos to share for everybody. And that would be essentially free for us to use with our roll-in bar for beer and wine. Indiana has some unusual laws as far as alcohol and so on, and so I had a lot of questions about how all of that would work for both the residence halls and for Renegade, but nothing that we can't work with. Pricing would be really attractive, I think. Purdue is just as easy to get to, if not a little bit easier, than Bowling Green. It is 45 minutes outside, or about an hour outside of Indianapolis, easy to drive to. Purdue is used to having groups on campus. They have over 700 conferences from off-campus groups every year. So they have a very big and very sophisticated conference programs department that could handle all of our registration needs and basically take care of us from the minute we sign the contract all the way through to after our festival. So I was very, very impressed. Purdue is just a beautiful campus. They have immense world-class facilities, and they really want us to come to Purdue for 2014. I have most of my report written already. I'm just waiting for final pricing, which I expected last week, so I'm calling her tomorrow morning to make sure that she's going to send me the pricing soon, and I'll be able to turn in my final report. Once I've got the report written and I'll send it out, I would hope that we would be able to come to a decision soon, 2014, because I think Purdue is probably our best option. It's the only good option that I know of right now.
Hey, Mike. One of the things that I'm finding very attractive about BGSU is the fact that we didn't have to commit to any kind of room blocks or anything. Is that also the case at Purdue?
Yes. Just like BGSU, they have far more capacity than we would ever need, so we don't have to reserve any of the capacity for our own use. And they have a very sophisticated registration system. They would be able to take all of our registration information and do the room assignments and let people select what kind of housing they want and room type they want, as well as meal packages. And if you don't want to dine on campus, or if you want to not dine in the dining hall, they have 2 very, very high-quality food courts that are pay-as-you-go. The one that's in the Union Commons has 11 different outlets, including a Starbucks, a couple pizza places, a burrito place, a salad bar, a health food store, all kinds of stuff like that. And then one block away, we're in downtown West Lafayette, and it has all of the things that you would expect to find next to a college campus that has 30,000 students on it. So they have all the kinds of bars and restaurants that our folks like to visit just one block away from the student union. So there's really no reason anybody would go hungry or have any lack of choices for dining or for lodging at Purdue.
Great. One question I do have to, just because transportation was one of our biggest concerns with PDSU, and it turns out that it's still a concern. So are there any specific outline known options for transportation from the airport?
Yes. Because Purdue gets many hundreds of thousands of visitors every year, there are two year-round, regularly scheduled, high-volume, low-cost shuttle bus services between Indianapolis International and Purdue. I used both types. I used a private car on the way in, and I used the shared ride shuttle van on the way out. And they run 18 hours a day. They're $27 in each direction for the shared shuttle and about $50 for the private car. That would mirror what we're finding at BGSU. And Purdue has 45 full-size luxury motor coaches that we could charter if we wanted to run our own charter buses from Indianapolis International or even Chicago O'Hare International if we had a group arrival. Purdue has also quite a few minibuses and limos, private cars that we could also charter for arrange for our VIP groups. So getting to and from Purdue University is not a problem once you land at Indianapolis International. By the way, Indianapolis International is absolutely beautiful. It's the newest big airport in America. We just got done building in 2008 a brand new $1.2 billion passenger terminal, and it is just spectacular, a great facility, easy to get into and out of. And as I say, they have regularly scheduled, high-volume, low-cost ground transportation available to and from Purdue 18 hours a day, 365 days a year.
And of course, we don't have specifics right now, but in broad strokes, do you imagine that the facilities cost us roughly what BGSU is costing us?
From what they told me 2 months ago before I was on site, Dave, they gave us prices that were substantially below BGSU for the rental of the gym. And since I've been on site, I've told them that we would need less space than they originally proposed, so I imagine that price will come down. So I think Purdue will wind up giving us a more attractive offer for rental than BGSU, although housing costs may be comparable or a little bit higher. However, Purdue has more types of housing than we were offered at BGSU, so people who want a low-cost option would be able to select that if they chose. And, of course, like BGSU, if you don't want to stay on campus, there are hotels and motels surrounding the campus that could serve anybody that wants to do that.
If it turns out that all the hue and cry for camping is actually well-founded and we get lots of people who like to camp at BGSU, do you know where the nearest camping option is at Purdue?
Yeah. I brought that up. They don't allow camping on campus. There are no city parks or anything close by. We know that there are camping sites about 2 to 3 miles outside of town. And I'm getting information on that. It would not be as convenient as BGSU, and so I don't think we would be able to offer that. But as you say, we don't know how popular that would be, so, you know, there might be 10 or 12 people that might not be able to camp near the festival. But I think the other benefits certainly give us a lot to consider for going to Purdue for 2014.
Well, thank you. Did anyone have any other questions or comments for Mike?
Oh, I should also point out there's a lot of other great things that go along with going to a very, very large university. Purdue operates two very high-volume, low-cost print shops on campus. So anything that we would need printed, as far as programs, flyers, anything like that, we can turn over to them, and they have pricing that really nobody else can touch. In the same way, because it's such a huge school and a part of the Big Ten, there are about 20 T-shirt printing places surrounding campus that do hundreds of thousands of T-shirts a year. And Purdue also has their own silk screening shop on campus. They could do our T-shirts at prices that we probably wouldn't ever be able to get from an outside vendor. And, of course, since the shipping is not a factor, since it's being produced right in town, we would save a lot of money on both T-shirts and printing having them done on campus.
Okay. Any other questions or comments for Mike? Thank you for that. That was very informative. So,
my pleasure.
So we also have an item for a website report, but I think part of the trick here is that, as you've noted, we're sort of in stasis. I don't think that a whole lot has changed. Part of that is waiting to hear from Iwi, which we discussed a couple minutes before you got here, just that we're going to need to be more aggressive about tracking him down to get his take on things. I mean, I would definitely also urge any of our newer board members that weren't here for the previous discussions to just make sure you talk to whoever you need to talk to and read up on past notes so that you're comfortable with the options in front of us so that you know what your take is on this. Because whatever we do, I think Mike has certainly made the point, and I think he's right, that the system we're using now is not sustainable going forward. We're going to need to do something. So we need to be prepared to make decisions as we get information on funding from EWE and so on. One question I had, Mike, I know that from the time I started hearing about discussions, they were all focused on more high-end AMS systems. Did we review or dismiss any solutions in between what we have now and the high-end AMS systems we've been discussing?
Well, the whole thing started when I brought this and we got the buy-in from EWE to have a consultant do a needs analysis and recommendation for us, and we went through that and got his recommendations. And the three systems that he recommended all meet our needs. There's a really cheap one that does probably 90%. There are a few things missing from the cheap one that we would probably like to have. And the other two meet all of our needs and let us do things that we really can't even contemplate doing now. What I found, Dave, in surveying those three systems, plus half a dozen or more others that I looked at independently, are that the companies that make AMS systems don't have a system that only does half of what associations want. Most associations need all of the same things we need. And so all of the AMS systems I look at and know about do everything. They do event management. They do membership. They do rosters. They do an e-store. They do a website. They do a blog. They do email. They do communication. They do document storage. They do bookkeeping. They do all of those things because that's what the vast, vast majority of any kind of association needs done. And the ones that we looked at, the ones that our consultant recommended, do all of those things. A few of them, and the one that I would recommend, do all of those things and even a few more things that we would probably love to have someday. And since the price between the first best and the second best is negligible, and we're going to make the effort anyway, I don't know, and we have a donor who expressed interest in the past in getting us there, I really don't know why we shouldn't try and get the best that we can get. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And something I would like to say, and all of you know me, you know that I've worked for the IJA for 8 years, and You know that I respect all of the work that you all do for the IJA. But with all due respect, none of you have ever been the membership director of the IJA, nor have you ever been festival registrar, nor have any of you been webmaster. Those jobs are ridiculously labor-intensive for our volunteers. And until you've done those jobs, you have no idea how much work they take. And if we are given the chance to modernize those functions and make them much easier for our current volunteers and all of the volunteers that will follow us for years and years to come, and provide much better service for all of our members, and provide a much more professional face to our organization for the whole internet, and let us do things we have never dreamed of being able to do now, we should take that opportunity. If Maryland got hit by a bus tomorrow morning, I couldn't run the membership of the IJA, even though I did for 4 years. There are that many moving parts to it. And the amount of work that it takes for us to do all of these things and run a festival and renew 1,500 members a year is just ridiculous when there are such highly refined, affordable tools available for us to use. So anyone who thinks that we can do all of this by buying a couple of WordPress plugins, you really don't know what you're talking about, and I don't know how else to put it. You really need to look at what other organizations are doing and how well they're doing it with these AMS systems and just decide for yourself, does the IJA ever want to run a real donations drive? Because all of these systems will let us do that and track donations and track donors and see the effectiveness of emails and do real email marketing and dozens of other things that we can't even dream of doing now because we are on systems that were never designed to do any of this stuff, that were put together by people working hard with good intentions over the last 15 years, but it's just not working anymore. And we're going to burn out all of our volunteers. We're not going to serve our members, and things are going to start to fall apart. I don't really know what else I can say about any of this stuff. We have been given a once-ever opportunity to modernize the IJA, and I don't know why there's not more initiative to accept EWE's offer and make this move.
I don't think it's been finalized, but, yeah. But thank you so much. That EWE's offer is valid. But well spoken on that. Thank you for that, Mike, because that's a good perspective to have.
Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, we're not going to sort through all this on the call, which is why I'm telling other people to make sure they catch up. I mean, I sent you an email, my take on it. So if you are right, and if we finally reach EWE and he's willing to pay for this, then I can get behind that. Mm-hmm. If he's not, that's the situation I'm trying to...
And then we have to look at, if he's not, then we have to look at what that means financially for the IJ and whether or not it's realistic. So that's kind of all dependent on that, it seems, at this point.
Yes, well, I agree. Without EWE's support, the IJA can't do this. I'm in touch and I'm good friends with someone who knows our donor personally, and I spoke to him back in May. We were in Omaha and visited. And
I saw that email, yeah.
We talked about all this, and you know, if nobody else can get a hold of EWE, I think I know a guy who can. And, you know, if it comes to that, I think this is important enough to the future of the IJA that it should be pressed with EWE. And I've spoken to our donor. I know the person. And I think I know that they would support this. I know where they came from and what kind of business they're in, and that they would certainly embrace this kind of opportunity. So
totally. And so that being said, I think that's what we're waiting on to make any future move at this point, is just that confirmation. And once we have it, then we can make a vote. We can move
right.
forward.
My question a while ago had been, did we consider any options we might be able to afford if it turns out he's not willing to pay for this? And it sounds like, no, not really.
No.
Well, yeah, the wild apricot package is something on the order of $2,000 a year. And I think the IJA could probably find a way to make that work.
All right. Do we have more questions on the website at this time? Okay.
No, but Mike, I don't know if you were on the call yet, but Dave and I had discussed earlier in the day other ways of getting in touch with Iwi. I do have his phone number. I do have his snail mail. So they are the next course of action since we haven't heard back. One of his emails did bounce back to me today or yesterday. I forget which day it was.
Okay.
All right, so let's try to keep moving because by now we're pretty far behind schedule. Mm-hmm. We did get a membership report from Marilyn. I don't think she's on the call, so Mike, thank her for that. I don't know if there's a lot to discuss there. I mean, I guess I would note that our membership is down a little bit in the last month. I don't think it indicates any great disease or anything, but it's just a reminder that we do need to keep thinking about how we want to make our membership grow. Is there anything anyone wanted to ask or comment about that, about the membership report? Okay. Per our motion a few months ago, Holly delivered us the August financials. As with last month, Holly is not on the call, so it's unlikely we can do much in the way of answering questions, but if you have them, please reach out to her. Make sure that you understand what you need to understand. I certainly saw a few things there I didn't quite get or recognize, so I'll be reaching out to her just to educate myself. Anyone else have comments or questions on the financials? Okay. So our one motion, we're on to motions. The one motion we had on the table for tonight
was
the motion.
Wait a minute. Are you skipping marketing because Tom is not here?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I did skip marketing. Because Tom is not here was part of it. It's also, well, I should ask. So Tom submitted a pretty lengthy document for us, and I don't know how many people have gotten to read through it yet.
Read it.
Okay. I know I have not yet gotten to read it, which bums me. Has everyone else gotten to read through it at this point?
Yes.
I have not.
I read through it, and this interests me, so I sent Tom a detailed critique, and I didn't send it to anyone else because I was afraid it was a school project, and I was being very nitpicking about, you know, layout and everything else, and it wasn't really for the board. But we don't want to discuss it without him here, but I would urge everyone to read it very carefully. It's a very ambitious piece of work.
And you're talking about the marketing plan.
Marketing plan.
Okay, got it. Marketing.
Yeah. So we just have to – the question is whether or not it's realistic given the sort of volunteer nature of things, and I don't know how much Tom wants to do himself, but I think that's the key question. Can not so much the detail of it, which is interesting and can be endlessly debated, but whether or not we have the wherewithal to carry out something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And with that said, since – not many people have read it, and since he's not here, we don't.
In regards to, and yeah, well, and I just, you mean in regards to like the kind of the bigger social media elements? That would be the part that jumped out at me as pretty ambitious.
Well, also, it's kind of a huge press agent role that
right.
I think takes an awful lot of work. And you know, when you're doing opportunistic press communication, you have to be kind of on it all the time.
Right.
I don't know whether he's volunteering, but we don't want to get into detail, but I think right. we have to read it and say, is this realistic for the kind of organization we are?
And is it the direction that, yeah, we all feel the IJA is moving or wants to move? Or because I think creating a marketing plan is a great idea, and I love that, and I think the more we can work with what he's got here to, you know, fine-tune it and make it a marketing plan we can all get behind and support, and would be great.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say.
Thanks, Lloyd.
And, yeah, thank you for calling me back to that. We ended up skipping around a little bit when Mike got on the call, and I didn't mean to skip it entirely. Mostly what I was going to say is anyone else like me who hasn't gotten to read it yet, we should make sure we do so and we give it proper attention, because I think Tom's putting a lot of thought into something that we haven't necessarily put enough thought into in the past. So
that's right.
Hopefully by next month when Tom is around, we can have a more thorough discussion of it. Okay. So, yeah, thank you for that. All right. So now to get back to our motion. We had a motion to approve the 2013 Bowling Green State University FEST budget. Do we have a motion to bring this under consideration?
I'll make the motion, Aaron.
Do we have a second?
If it's appropriate, I'll... Okay, go ahead, Lloyd.
That makes it easier, then I don't have to worry about whether it's appropriate. Okay, discussion. So I know you had talked about trying to get us an updated budget. I didn't see one. Did I just miss it in the hubbub? Or?
No, it's because I thought the meeting was next week.
Yeah.
That's what it came down to.
Okay.
At this point, like that, the ice cream social that was in there, I am taking that out. That was from previous years. Not sure why I left it in this particular copy. And the other big point of contention has been, you know, charging the 5%. And point number two to discuss here is the vendors.
Right.
So, and I do understand the point about the rooms. It would change, I did go through and figure it out, to, and I rounded it off to the nearest dollar, but that would mean that housing and dorms would be $36 per night per person for a single, $30 per night per person for a double, as compared to $34 and $28. Camping would go up $1 per night per person. With the meal plans, I did not round to the nearest dollar, only because sometimes that just didn't work. So breakfast instead of $6 would be $6.50. Lunch instead of $8 would be $8.50. And dinner instead of $10 would be $10.50. I did not add a 5% rate onto the parking passes, because it comes out to a nickel a day.
Sure.
So, I mean, I'm willing to make those changes. It's a couple bucks a day.
Yeah, I think I still remain convinced that that's the right way to do it.
I do want to put, like in parentheses or something, saying that, you know, this price includes the $5 admin fee by BGSU.
5%, yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I think having that kind of transparency is good.
Okay.
Because I do think it's the right thing to do, but I don't want somebody coming back later and going, oh, why did you sneak this charge in, or whatever. But,
right.
But, yeah.
And then with the vendors, the question that I had was, like I said, in the past year or two, we've given away free vendor space. However, in at least one of the places, we didn't get charged for tables and chairs, just for the electricity. We are getting charged for tables and chairs for this particular venue because they don't have enough there. They actually have to ship it in from a vendor that they see. And I believe that says I was looking at charging exactly what it was going to cost us for the tables and chairs for a vendor space, and that was $35. That was for the whole week. So a vendor space for 1 week would be $35 total. When I talked to Tom, I know he had said about the vendors that are part of, you know, they give prizes for the video tutorial, and they're giving discounts for the vendor discount program. So my thought that I just want to throw out there is perhaps any vendor who, during this year from July 2012 until our fest this July, if they are part of the donations for the vendor or for the video tutorial, or if they are part of the vendor discount program, if we offer them a free space minus electricity costs.
So that's an interesting idea. So the reason I had mentioned earlier that I would lean towards not trying to charge them for tables is this. A while ago when I was talking to Tom Kidwell of Renegade mm-hmm. about the vendor discount program, he was the first vendor I had say to me basically, there is no way a vendor can come to your festival and make money. You know, he's like, I may come to your festival because, you know, it's fun and I like hanging out and seeing mm-hmm. people, but I can't make money there. And that surprised me. That was the first I'd heard, you know, had taken that perspective on it. And so since then, I've talked to a lot of vendors mm-hmm. and asked them pretty much the same question. And pretty much every one of them has said, oh, that's correct. There's no way I make money if I come to your festival. I may come anyway because, you know, I like to be there and it gets my name out or whatever, but I will lose money by the time I'm done getting my stuff there and getting it back home and so on.
Right, and I've heard that before. Yep.
Right. And, you know, by now I've heard it unanimously enough that I'm like, no, this isn't people pulling my leg. I think that's just sort of the economics of how it works. Mm-hmm. The one weird dissenter I had was a particular vendor who was upset that we were letting vendors in for free. And that vendor's take was basically, you know, you end up polluting the gym with vendors who are just kind of taking business away even though they don't have any real costs. You know, they're not real vendors, and you mm-hmm. need to charge some token amount to make a barrier to entry. So, in general, that was enough of an outlier. I didn't worry about it. And I was concerned about passing on costs to the vendors when I'm becoming increasingly convinced the vendors are there more for our benefit than their own mm-hmm. because people who come to the fest like having vendors and they can walk around and browse props and so on and so forth. And so I wouldn't want to discourage vendors from being there. But the compromise you mentioned is kind of – there's a lot to like about that because I think a lot of the main vendors that people really want there – will end up getting in for free because they've participated in one or more of our events during the year. And it does mean, you know, if somebody shows up and has, you know, their crappy props that nobody wants anyway, we don't end up necessarily buying them a table because they probably haven't done anything to merit that on our side. It sort of ends up providing this barrier to entry that this one particular vendor liked, which is if you haven't really put any skin in the game and we don't have any reason to want to cooperate with you, then you can still come, but you do need to pay your own way.
Mm-hmm.
So aside from the, you know, we have that first step of we'd have to make a list of who these vendors are that we've worked with, which shouldn't be that bad. I kind of like that idea.
It also gives the vendors, especially if we're going to open up registration November 15th, it gives vendors time enough to be part of the donations for video tutorial, to donate props to props to you, to become part of the vendor discount program. So we're not saying they're out because they haven't done anything of those things yet. I think it kind of gives them some of them incentive to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So is this something we'd actively advertise to try to get vendors for the tutorial contest?
I would think so. I would want to.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it also fits, like, I remember at some point hearing Gregory from G-Balls, who is never short on opinions. Part of his thing is he was very bitter towards us because he felt like, I've donated stuff to you, I've worked with you, and then you turn around and you tried to, you know, nickel and dime me to come to the yeah. festival. And this covers that. It's like, no, if you've been working with us, we appreciate that, and we're not going to do that.
Yeah, I've heard that too from him. He's pretty he's yeah. pretty bothered by that, and he's kind of a big vendor out there too. So
he is. But for instance, in this case, he's donated before, and he's part of the vendor discount program. So we get it, and he would be covered under this proposal.
And I know in the past, and fairly recent past, within the last 10 years, vendor space used to be $150. It was pretty much the same, pretty close to the same as registration fee. So, I think if we make it clear we're only asking the vendors who are not part of IJA events to pay just for the cost of their tables, their chairs, and the skirting to go around them, we're not charging any up fee. We're not making money off of them. We're just asking them to cover the cost of what their table setting is going to cost.
Yep.
That may help to smooth over a few hard feelings as well, that we're not trying to make a buck off of these guys. We want them to make money or at least cover their expenses at the very least.
Yeah, this seems like a very reasonable middle ground to me.
Okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, well, what I changed it to in the fest budget then, I'm sorry, I'm getting a very high-pitched squeal. There we go. Vendor space, and in parentheses behind it, I put $35 for the week for non-IJA event vendors. And I'll specify IJA event includes video tutorial donations, props to you donations, and
vendor discount.
Participation in the vendor discount program.
Mm-hmm.
That sound
right, and that probably also means it does mean shifting a line item to our expenses to for tables and chairs for people who did participate.
I can shift that around. That's easy.
So
everybody's okay with that part?
Yes.
Okay.
So let me ask you this as a matter of practicality.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it'd be good to get the budget locked down, but your real drop-dead date is it needs to be locked down by mid-November, right?
Well, if we can have it done by the end of October, the October meeting, so that I can have all the fest materials ready to roll on November 15th.
Yeah. So what I was going to propose is because this meeting snuck up on a lot of us and you have some tweaks to make to the budget, I'm wondering if does it make sense to have you make those changes and have us approve it next month?
That's perfectly fine, because there's one other item that was actually brought up by Sandy Brown, because Sandy has such experience with running fests that I sought her advice as well. She is also an avid joggler. So when she looked over the budget, she had suggested changing the joggling entry fee. Currently, it's at $12 per person for as many events as you want to run.
Mm-hmm.
She suggested raising it to $15 per event or $25 for an unlimited amount of events.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to run that past Len Furman yet. I haven't had a chance to do that.
Yeah.
But that sounds like a great plan to me. Because if you were to pay individually, I know some of the jogglers enter 4, 5, 6 events for $12. And then you're not even covering the cost of the medals or ribbons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely talk to Len about it and see what he thinks the tolerance for that would be.
Mm-hmm.
I personally just have so little idea because it has just never entered my head to enter a joggling event. But
I think it makes good sense to postpone it, not because I'm not in favor of it, because I think if we approved it now, we're really approving the direction it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And since I do have confidence in the direction it's going, I think it's a good idea to approve it next month.
Yeah. And in that time, I'll have had time to talk to Len. I'll email him tonight, actually. I'll make the changes as far as the dorms and the meal plans. And I'll also make that change about vendor space. Anything that I'm changing, I'll have in a different color just so that it's evident that it was changed, if that's all right with everyone.
Great. Okay, so I don't remember how we've done this procedurally in the past. There's a word that's just escaping me because I'm old and stupid. What's the term we use when we take a motion and decide to talk about it next month?
Table.
Table.
Thank you.
Motion.
Okay.
Need a motion to table.
Right. So was that Aaron made a motion to table? Does anyone second that?
Second it.
Sorry, who was that?
Lloyd.
Thank you, Lloyd. Okay. Discussion of the idea of tabling it. I think we've covered that, but anyone have anything else they want to say? Okay, then we'll vote. Does anyone object to tabling this motion? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay, so we're going to table this, and we'll lock it up next month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was our one motion. Under Varia, I had put two things. One of them was the website AMS discussion, which I think we covered under reports.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I had jotted down was Robert Nelson's name, and I can tell you why I did that. So with visibility into what's going on with eJuggle, with the passing of Robert Nelson, we saw an interesting thing where a couple different people submitted their own stories or articles on him. I also attended out in the Bay Area last week or the week before. There was a kind of a celebration of his life that was really very well attended. It was a fascinating piece of history for me to go listen to.
Wow.
And, an amazing set of people there. And mostly it just kind of, it is all sort of run home that this was a pretty significant event for the juggling community on the whole, and it touched a lot of people in a lot of different ways. So mostly I was just going to say, I think we should probably think about, you know, if or how we want to honor this or recognize it at the festival next year or beforehand. Certainly one of the ideas that had occurred to me is, Kim, I think you had at least some discussions about bringing back the busking competition.
Oh, it'd be in honor of Robert Nelson.
Yeah, and I was going to bring that up when I saw that you had your name on here. I would actually love to speak with Kumi about devising an award that would be for the busker competition in Robert Nelson's memory.
Right. I think it is just such a no-brainer that if we are going to do the busking competition again, I think
yes.
Who better to have that? You know, if we have the Lucas Cup for winning the individuals championships, it makes all the sense in the world to have that title be named after him.
Yes,
man.
And the other thing that Keith Nelson and I have talked about is since Keith is also involved with the late night shows, is he would like to make the last night of Renegade a honorarium, memoriam to Robert Nelson, have it be in his honor. And the neat thing about that is the Friday schedule, there is no show Friday night. It is the Jugglers Parade into town, the Buskers competition with hopefully as many of the jugglers there as possible. There are various restaurants that we are getting to offer juggler specials so that their dinners will not be any more than they would be on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting them to come up with special $10 menus. And then you go to the Clazel for the late night show where the plan is to hand out the Buskers competition trophy.
Yeah,
it would all kind of tie in together.
Yeah, I think it sounds beautiful in multiple ways. I mean, it sounds like a perfect plan, and it also seems like a really nice tribute.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. It's good. It sounds like we're pretty much of one mind on this, so that's great.
Yeah, I'll communicate with Kumi and see if she has anything in particular as far as what we can do as an award. I'd love to have her input on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds good. Okay. Did anyone have anything else they wanted to discuss in Varia?
I had one thing. This is Nathan.
Hey.
I heard you recently reached out to the WJF Jason Garfield.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering what the thrust of that was and if you'd heard a response.
I was going to mention that just so that you knew what the thrust of it was, and no, I have not received any response whatsoever. So it came up in the context of the whole zombie combat thing, but what I reached out to him about was more, you know, we had had sort of conflicting information on whether WJF 9 was going to conflict with our festival, and I said, well, this is silly. I should just ask him because he would know. So I asked him that, but more than that, I kind of tried to extend an olive branch and say, well, I'm also interested in kind of what's your take on this whole situation? How do you think it should work? I personally think if our festivals ever conflict, I think that's bad because I don't think there's – why take a limited audience and make them pick? You know, I further said I think in a perfect world, they're spread apart enough so that people can treat them as completely separate events and choose to go to one or both. Sparks, when I went in Sparks, as I recall, his festival was in Las Vegas like a week apart. And I was like, yeah, that's weird for people because you travel from the East Coast and you're in Northern Nevada and you finish up and then you've got like a week before there's a festival in Southern Nevada. That's a bad choice to have to make. So I mostly just kind of asked him, you know, tell me, how do you think this should work? What do you think is a good arrangement for our festivals? Because maybe we can do it, maybe we can't, but I would like us not to create problems we don't have to. Mm-hmm. I also asked him about combat, just kind of saying, help me understand what your business model is there. You know, what would make you want to run a Major League Combat event somewhere? What do you hope to get out of it? Would our festival ever be an interesting site for you to host a Major League Combat event? But like I said, I haven't heard any response from him since I sent it, so I don't know.
Okay.
But mostly it was just kind of saying, you know, there's only so much juggling goodwill to go around, and we're kind of the two games in town in the United States, so I'd like us to be cooperating where it makes sense, knowing that inevitably we do compete at some level, but let's not make things unnecessarily hard on each other. So
I agree with that.
So we'll see what he says, if anything.
I told a pitch.
What'd you say?
I said I think that's pitched very well. I think it's the right sort of outreach.
Yeah. So we'll see if he answers and what he says. So.
Great.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. I was going to fill you guys in on what I did there. Okay, so if nobody has anything else, we should pick our next meeting date for October. I think last time I went about that by saying, oh, sometime in the middle of the month, and we picked the 11th, but it threw people because I think some people had sort of settled into it being the third Wednesday of the month. So let's at least start from a position of October 17th. Does that cause problems for anyone?
It's going to be near impossible for me. That's homecoming week. And
okay. Aaron, did I hear you object in there as well?
Yeah, I leave for Chile on the 14th, and I'll be gone the rest of the month. So either the week before that, or I just won't be present for that meeting.
Okay. So obviously starting with two board members who can't make it isn't a great start. How about the 10th? Do people have conflicts on the 10th?
That works for me.
I can do the 10th.
I could make it on the 10th, but I'd be about a half hour late.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like the 10th is a better fit than the 17th, so let's go for that. And with football being well underway, hopefully I won't forget this time around. Okay. So with that settled, we're to the exciting point of the evening where we typically adjourn the meeting. Would anyone like to make that motion?
I move. It's Kim.
Okay. We figured out we don't have to second that. Is there any discussion people would like to have?
Kim, I want to talk to you afterwards.
What was that?
I said, Kim, I want to talk to you afterwards, just for a second.
I want to talk to you, too, so that's good.
Okay. Voting-wise, does anyone object to adjourning the meeting? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay, it is unanimous. The meeting is adjourned at 7:01 Pacific. Sorry we ran a little longer this time around. Hopefully I'll be better organized next time, and we'll keep it closer to an hour. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And keep up the good discussion on the boards as well. I think that's been a good trend in the last few months. So let's keep in touch. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.